This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Our first question comes from Patrick Busk, who asks, in your January extra Ask an Astronomer, one question concerned the Big Bang and black holes. I'm not sure I understood the question, but I have had a possibly similar question for a while. In the initial period after the Big Bang, wasn't the mass density in all space so high that the gravitational force should have caused everything to collapse into a black hole? I.e., if all matter or energy, except I guess vacuum energy, that is present today was also present when space was much, much smaller right after the Big Bang, how is it that any was able to escape what must have been enormous mutual gravitational attraction to form the separate galaxies that make up the universe today?
So this is a very good question, and it's an area of active research in at least part of it. So the key point is that although the early universe was extremely dense and very, you know, high amounts of matter were around in the same area, the curvature wasn't very high. So that's because although it was dense, it was also homogeneous. So it was the same everywhere and completely smooth. So that means there's not enough mass in a single location to counteract the mass in all the other locations, you know, pulling it apart. So that's the standard picture, the background picture, which is the kind of average behaviour of the universe. What is possible is there are fluctuations in the early universe, which can trigger what we call primordial black holes, which means very early period black holes. If there's a fluctuation, that is a small amount area in space with much more mass or a little more matter density than the surrounding areas, that could be the kind of thing that at very early times would have enough mass density to form a black hole. That's a candidate for a bunch of things. For example, dark matter has been suggested that it could be a primordial black hole or a collection of primordial black holes, just because it's point-like, like dark matter has to be, and extremely massive. That's currently disfavored by most of our theory and data. We don't expect there to be enough primordial black holes based on the numbers we do know to explain dark matter. But they're certainly plausible to exist, but not common.
Great. Okay. Moving on to our next question from Colin Stenning, who asks, is it possible that there is a connection between dark energy and some as-yet-undiscovered properties of the Higgs field that might point the way towards some sort of grand unified theory in the future?
That's a very good question again. The answer is they're probably not connected, and that's because the energy scales they happen at are very, very different. The universe appears to have been through two periods of dark energy-like expansion. The main one that we've learnt about since 1998 is the dark energy period, the late time acceleration since about redshift 1 or about 8 billion years ago, the universe has been accelerating. But what we've just found out, fantastic proof for from the BICEP experiment in this month, is that we have pretty good evidence now for an earlier period of acceleration, which we call inflation. So the primordial part of the universe is believed to have accelerated very, very rapidly during a very, very short period. I should add, it's worth, people have argued about whether describing that as a rapid expansion is really the right way to understand it. So if you're interested, do Google that question. But the point is, the Higgs has been put forward as one candidate for the first period of inflation, the early inflation. You know, that's a reasonable candidate for those things. And some of the early theories of inflation use the Higgs as what they call their inflaton, that is the particle that drives inflation. There are theories, sort of speculative ones, that connect the two, that connect the dark energy period and the inflation period, and sort of try and make the single mass particle the cause of both those two effects. But they require sort of extra things that we don't really have evidence for. They require extra particles to be in existence in order to connect those two periods and make a mechanism that can explain both of them at once. So the answer is there could be a connection, but we don't think so.
Great. Finally, Leonard Pendlebury asks, the Andromeda galaxy, which is bigger than the Milky Way, is heading our way. How long will Andromeda take to reach us, and what will happen to the black hole at the centre of our galaxy?
It will take about 4 billion years, give or take. We don't have precise numbers, obviously these are very uncertain measurements, but in about 4 billion years the Andromeda galaxy will collide into our galaxy. Now, collisions between galaxies are really interesting things, partly because galaxies are so empty and the stars so small that when two galaxies collide, none of the stars that make them up actually hit each other. They just pass right through each other like a sort of web of particles, because they're so fine compared to the big spaces between them. So these two galaxies will smash into each other, but no actual stars will be affected. What does happen is the gas, the interstellar medium between the stars, that does collide, that smashes into each other, and that can trigger all kinds of fun effects like starbursts. So if the gas collides and gets heated up enough, you can get a burst of star formation occurring, and we think we see that in the distant universe. We see other galaxies colliding. The black hole question is especially interesting. It's an area of active research. We think that eventually black holes will collide and coalesce. We think we've seen that behavior or the signature of that behaviour in the distant universe. We don't know the time period over that which that will happen, but we do know what happens when two black holes collide. So one of the reasons you've heard of Stephen Hawking is because he researched the question of what happens when black holes hit each other. And we believe that they should coalesce into a larger black hole, which should have more surface area than the two original ones. That was a theorem that Stephen Hawking put forward. We also know that there's some kind of relation between the history of a galaxy and the history of its black hole. We know there's a very tight correlation between the mass of a black hole in the centre of a galaxy and the mass of the galaxy, or the mass of the central region of the galaxy, at least. And we don't really understand why that is. There's some kind of coevolution between the two, possibly, or interaction between those two things. So there's a very difficult question that we don't really understand the answer to about how those two things are related and how galaxy collisions feed into black hole collisions. It's a very active area of research.
Hopefully we'll get some answers at some point in the future. Thanks a lot for answering my questions, Joe.
Thanks a lot.